Better skills, better doctors. Join Rebecca Ong and Michael Peluso from TCM Hub as we go beyond the nuts and bolts of clinical practice to navigate some of the more challenging aspects of being a self-employed physician. What are we doing? We stick a needle in here, prescribe an herb or two there, and get out of the way. We hope that a patient's woes are temporarily abated, or perhaps even their lives saved, for now. But doctoring is less about preventing the inevitable, and more about facilitating the best quality of life. This brings me to the crux. We advocate acupuncture, we advocate herbal medicine, at times we even advocate drugs or surgery. We advocate proper diagnosis and proper prescription for the patient as they present at the moment. This is appropriate and necessary. I also think it's woefully incomplete and inadequate for the ultimate goal of physicians. Consider a fairly typical American patient sitting across the desk from you struggling with, let's say, infertility. Then consider how often their lives look like this. They have terrible sleep. They have fatigue, anxiety, depression, constipation, heartburn, migraines, high-stress job, 50, 60, 70-hour work weeks. They may already have children, enrolled in every sport, every extracurricular activity. Their husband and their partner may also be working the exact same way, often totally non-supportive of the fertility journey. I personally have had so many women come on their own to their fertility appointments, procedures, even embryo transfers, and they lament how uninvolved their partners are. Now, again, this isn't always, but often enough. I even saw more than one embryo transfer on a lunch break. I shit you not, back to work in 30 minutes. Then they have money stress, garbage television filling their minds with crap, terrible diet, over-caffeinated, rosé all day weekends. You get the point. It made me question what the hell I was doing, and especially what the hell are patients thinking? It comes down to this. People want it all. Even the unhealthy stuff. They want to do everything, have none of the downside, all of the upside, no consequences, no compromise, and no accountability. And here's the clincher. No one ever told them that they can't have it. If this is the setting, how can we ever hope to make a lasting impact? Worse, if this is the water in which they swim, the fish never see it. In other words, they don't even know it's a problem. It's just normal. Well, it's not normal. It's typical, but it's not normal. The Indian philosopher Krishnamurti said that it is no measure of health to be well adapted to a profoundly sick society. What then do we do? Lest I leave you feeling hopeless and ineffectual, let's look at the bright side. Patients are, on the whole, also seeking different modalities outside of traditional medicine. This is true. They are engaged, ostensibly, in spiritual practices like yoga, even if they dispense with the deeper purpose of the activity, instead treating it as a complex stretching routine and treating things like yoga nidra and meditation as ways to, quote, de-stress and relax. At least there's some attempt to do something good. More people are doing more things which are better for their bodies and minds. As we treat patients, we must suppress the profound urge to grab and shake them and say, snap out of it. You wouldn't need any of my services, not herbs, not acupuncture, not even massage, if you just changed everything about yourself and your life. I believe this won't have the desired effect, even though I believe it is exactly what many need to hear. Instead, we will use the honey approach, as I'm told you'll catch more flies with it. We encourage our patients to take larger, multidimensional looks at their health and wellness. Encourage them to explore ideas, passions, interests. Encourage them to take a chance on themselves. We can host meditation retreats, which are not intimidating, but just emphasize the basics of counting the breath. This can be profound for people who go through their whole days, or at least large portions of them, unconsciously tensing their bodies, clenching their jaw, and even holding their breath. It is important to remember that our jobs are not just to prescribe and treat physically, but to initiate the conversations and plant the seeds that enable the patient to doctor themselves. If you think about it, they're in your office for the tiniest fraction of a percent of their week. When they leave, they take their habits and their minds with them. Doctoring is at once fast and slow. Herbs and acupuncture alleviate symptoms. In the model of medicine which most are acquainted, this is erroneously thought of as cured or even healed, but it's not even close. The medicine actually required to heal is slow. It is slowly grown and very slowly administered by the patient to the patient. You give them the ingredients through dialogue, through conversation, through compassionate listening, through patience. When and if the time comes and is right, the patient will cultivate what they need on their own. And we must remind ourselves that it isn't now, nor was it ever, about us.